This is Esther Abrami. Welcome to Women in Classical, the podcast where I meet with inspiring women from the classical music world and discuss their unique careers, the challenges that they face, and the insights that they'd wish to have known when entering the music business. Today, I am with Lucy Noble, the artistic director of the Royal Albert Hall. We'll be speaking about how she went from handling tickets at the Royal Albert Hall all the way to being their artistic director, as well as the feeling of always having to prove yourself when being appointed in such a position as a woman. Hello, welcome to a new episode of Women in Classical. Today we are filming at the Royal Albert Hall in London, and in front of me I've got Lucy Noble, who is the artistic director of the Royal Albert Hall. Welcome and thank you for being here.
No problem, my pleasure.
So I'd like to start with the beginnings. And how did you start in music? I know you went to the Royal College, just like me,
yes,
just across the road.
Yeah.
So how did you start, and when did you decide that you wanted to have a job within music?
I think, I started originally playing, and I'm a flute player. Mm-hmm. And I started, I think, when I was age 9. And so I naturally fell into that musical world. To cut a long story short, I did end up at the Royal College of Music, and I'd come from quite a normal black background. My parents weren't particularly musical, and so it was a really big deal for me to get a place at somewhere like the Royal College of Music. And then I, you know, fell into that world, and it was amazing, although quite different to what I'd been used to before. And it took quite a long time for me to adapt to that new environment. And what I did whilst I was at the Royal College of Music is I got a job here at the Royal Albert Hall as a steward. So showing people to their seats, checking their tickets of an evening. And I would show people to their seats, and then you'd sit down and you'd watch all these amazing concerts, all different genres, from classical, of course, but through to rock and pop and ballet and opera, everything. And I was kind of gaining this knowledge of all these different musical styles, which put me in really good stead to do the job I do today. And that's kind of where it all started. And I remember at the time looking at the people, probably did the equivalent to my job today, thinking that I'd really like to do that. This is a great place to work. And yeah. I love the Royal Albert Hall.
That's a really inspiring story. I find that the fact that you were, you know, when there as a steward, and then now you're the artistic director, you know, I mean, yeah. Would you have, yeah, it's lovely to hear. And how did you kind of, so you went to the Royal College at 18, right? Not the junior one. You went for there. And how did you kind of go from there to, I guess, being artistic director?
Well, it's been quite a long journey, because I've actually worked at the Hall for 20 years.
Okay.
And I was made the Hall's first artistic director, actually, just last November. And the Hall's 150 years old.
Yeah.
So it's the first time we've had an artistic director. So that was it's a great honour for me. And I started off in the programming department, hiring out the Hall. And I gradually kind of expanded the teams I look after. And I've worked my way up during that time. So I now look after the programming and the artistic side, but also as part of the role, I look after the production and technical teams and how we deliver those shows. The visitor services, that's all the front of house and the stewards, the bars and restaurants, the security, the retail, the merchandise, our whole engagement program and community outreach program where we engage, you know, and teach music to children and elderly who otherwise might not be engaged in music. So it's become very wide, my remit, and I've got a really good overview now, kind of all of the operations of the Hall. But it has taken a while and hard work and passion, I suppose, to get there.
Yeah, of course. But it must be great to have such a big impact on the artistic side of, I guess, of the Royal Albert Hall. And as I said, celebrating its 150th anniversary this year.
Yeah, yeah. No, it has been nice. I think it's only really in recent years that I've begun or been able to influence more artistically. We used to hire out the Hall to third parties all the time. But in recent years, we started producing our own concerts.
Yeah.
And so we do that around 80 times a year. And actually, that's where my classical music knowledge has really come into play. And we've created some, you know, beautiful concerts, whether that be Christmas concerts, but, you know, through to films and live orchestra. but I'm kind of pulling on my knowledge from before and my studies at Royal College of Music and before that, and to pull these concerts together and to curate them, and that, and it's been really useful for that.
That's wonderful. I think for me what's lovely to hear is that, you know, you went to the Royal College of Music and now you're artistic director of the Royal Albert Hall. When I often found that when I was studying at music colleges, we weren't always given all the options that we actually have, you know, when you do have a music degree, all the things that you can do. And now, you know, you're saying that actually you're using all the knowledge that you learned at music college in your job today. But I often found that we were given quite a limited choice in a way, you know, kind of, you know, you can be a soloist or you can be, you know, in an orchestra or teach. But it's, you know, it's nice to see people at, you know, doing amazing things in different positions still within music, but actually there's so much that you can do, and you know, you're proving that, which is great.
No, you're absolutely right. And I've been talking to the Royal College of Music actually recently and talking to them about thinking about things differently.
Yeah.
And we've had some new associate artists at the hall, and I was explaining to them that we chose one, I think, who you've interviewed, Anna Lapwood.
Anna, yes.
And I actually discovered her on Instagram.
Yeah.
And then, of course, did my research, and she's a wonderful musician as well. She's played as part of the proms. And I explained to people that it's not just about being an amazing player anymore. You've got to be able to communicate really well. And if you can engage with things like social media, that's amazing, because it helps bring new audiences to classical music.
Yeah.
And so Anna's been a great ambassador for the hall. Yeah, and she recently played with an electronic band called Bonobo.
Yeah.
And that was bringing, so that brought the organ, she's an organist, as you know, to a whole new audience.
Absolutely.
In a brilliant way. And I think we need to look at classical music differently, and the instruments within that genre as well.
Yeah.
And I'm worried about classical music. Ticket sales generally at the moment are quite poor, particularly for classical music.
Mm-hmm.
And I worry that it's a dying genre. And I think all of us that are passionate about it need to help, support to bring it to new audiences, and think so it does not, die a slow death, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I mean, with Anna, you know, I watch her videos and it makes me want to play the organ, you know, just watching her videos. So I can imagine, you know, somebody who doesn't really know anything about it. She's given like this complete new, cool, fun image of the organ. And honestly, I'd be like younger, I'd be like, I want to take up the organ. And that's what that's what you want, isn't it? And as you said, I think it's about bringing in, you know, bringing more, and social media obviously is a great way to do that, and just, I guess, show the youth side of it and the fun side of it. And, you know, it's also lovely to have, and I think she said that she was the first organist at the Albert Hall to have played with electronic music.
Yes.
And, you know, to combine genres, I think that's also a great thing. That's, we're not often actually encouraged to do at all. If anything, we're told, you know, you should stay within classical music, and kind of as soon as you step out, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
But actually, like, having the training of a classical musician, you're able to fit in really kind of any genre around.
Yeah.
And then, like, having that mix can be so magical.
Yeah, and I think people like to be really purist about classical music. But it doesn't mean to say that you're weakening it by doing different things with it. You can still make sure that it's the traditional form, but take it into different places. And, you know, why not do a classical music concert in a nightclub?
Yeah.
You know, when tango first kind of came on the scene, it was played in nightclubs.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and so we just need to think about it differently. And there's lots of young people in schools who just aren't engaging with music at all.
Mm-mm.
And it's a big worry. And I have two daughters who go to school that just doesn't engage in music.
Yeah.
And they both play musical instruments.
Mm-mm.
And their school doesn't know, even though every parents' evening I've said, oh, my daughters play the piano and harp, and have you thought about doing a school concert?
Yeah.
And they say, oh, let me come back to you. And they never come back.
Yeah.
And that really worries me.
Yeah.
That, again, you know, really concerns me. This is why I'm really, really quite worried about the whole scene at the moment, because the funding isn't there for music education.
Yeah.
And even more importantly, I don't think people value it.
Yeah.
Value classical music, or actually some music, you know, in its entirety, in the way that they should do.
Yeah. No, I think that's why I personally found with social media such a grateful because we have it here, you know, and yeah. we don't have to wait on somebody else's approval. We don't have to wait on somebody else's to change something, to put in some fundings. You know, it's here and, yeah. and we can impact people. Yes. And I think that's a great thing. I know it'd probably be hard to choose, but if you could kind of pick one or two highlights of your career so far, what would they be?
Okay. Oh God, that's a really different question. Really difficult question to answer. I think getting a job at the Royal Albert Hall in the very first instance, you know, even from being a steward, I was really proud of that. I was proud when I got into the Royal College of Music. And I think it highlights, I've been able to see some amazing concerts here. One concert that I remember and I will never forget is when Nelson Mandela was first released from prison, and we put an African concert on for him, and the whole royal family came to the hall. And that was a really magical moment to be in the room with Nelson Mandela. And I think I was in the arena and I was a steward still then. And I remember just standing there crying, as, you know, were many other people. And so things like that are a highlight, those kind of one-off events that will never happen again. I really love all the work we do with our engagement programme. Yesterday, John Legend came to do a workshop with some young people who have come from challenged backgrounds. And that was really emotional as well. And it all adds up. I love to go into the hall and see children singing, 1,000 children singing, but then it's equally as good to go in and see a really famous pop artist. So it is difficult, but it's all been a highlight, really. Yeah. So it's hard to kind of pinpoint one thing.
Yeah, no, it's really beautiful to hear, I can imagine. And especially, I think, in that hall, it's got some, I mean, you know, anybody that I speak to that's been to the hall, and it's just, you know, even people have been to so many different halls within in the world, but when you come to that, it's just, you know, kind of looking around and just think, wow.
It is like that, definitely. And it never kind of rubs off, you know. You still go in and you take a moment and think, this is a beautiful venue. It really is beautiful.
The next part, I guess, we've done highlights, and I wanted to ask you a little bit about challenges. I think we all go through challenges, especially as musicians. Sometimes it can be quite difficult to find your own path, and even when you have found it, to actually manage to succeed in what you want to do. Mm. So it'd be great to hear, you know, if you've been, you know, if you've had challenges, how have you overcome them? Have you managed to come out of these challenges?
Yeah, I think it is a challenge being a woman, just generally, if you want to have a big career, and I've got a family as well. And I think my biggest challenge actually has come trying to balance
the both.
Being a mother,
having
a family and doing a big job. Mm. And I have a very supportive partner. When I became a director of the hall, we cut down his hours so that he could be there more for the children. But that means that I'm not always there for them. And so it's trying to work out, because you want to have everything.
Yeah.
And you can't always have everything to the levels that you want to. So you just have to make sure that what you do is really kind of quality. And, you know, obviously I play the flute, and I was actively playing the flute until I had children. And then when I, you know, became a director of the hall, had children, the flute kind of went away for a while. And I find that really difficult, because that's a really big part of my life. Yeah. So I did have to make a choice, but I'm starting to do more music again now, but you know, that's 10 years later.
Yeah.
And so you do have to make sacrifices, I think. But I'm also incredibly lucky and been incredibly fortunate. I'm very happy, you know, with what I've achieved, what I have in my life. So I can't complain at all.
Yeah, but it is, you know, it's inspiring to see, because I think probably as women is something that, I mean, I don't know, for me as like a young woman, is something that I often think about in a more worried manner, and thinking, you know, how do you balance that, you know, about, especially when you have a big job within the music industry, or you travel a lot, like a lot of musicians, and, you know, having to make those choices or having to find that balance, which
I think you do make it work. Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, you just have to make it work.
You just have to.
And it's interesting. We did a a concert recently where we actually had a room. There was a musician who had a newborn baby, and we had a room for her, and she actually brought her mum to look after the baby. So we actually provided facilities so that she could come as a mother and perform.
Yeah.
And so, but then again, she's got help from her mum. You know, you need that support network. So, but you know, you can do it.
Yeah.
It might not be easy, but it is possible.
And maybe, you know, have you had any, in your professional life, have you faced any challenges in terms of, you know, being put down sometimes, being discouraged from, you know, where you wanted to go, what you wanted to achieve?
I think when I became a director, someone said to me, "I'm not sure you can do this job as a mother." Actually said that to me. And I said, "Well, actually, you know, I disagree with you, actually." So that was the one time where I thought, I'm not sure you could say that, but, you know, and, but I didn't mind in a way, you know, that was his particular opinion. And I said, "Look, you know, I've got this, you don't need to worry about that." And it's been fine. But that was one time where someone directly said that me being a mum could affect whether I could do. So that was quite interesting.
Yeah, can imagine. my next question would be around, you know, figures who have inspired you in your musical life, but also could be in your private life. Any women figures that, you know, either close or people you haven't met but you've been looking up to?
Yeah, like, again, that's, you know, that is a difficult question.
It is, you can say more than one name.
I think it's interesting. So I think that it's younger women that inspire me currently at the moment. And, you know, people like Anna or people like you. And I have a sister who's musical as well. And who all work incredibly hard. And so I think you can learn from people who are younger than you. Mm. Doesn't necessarily need to be someone who's done it all and, you know, is much older. And I think the females in my family kind of ultimately inspired me as well.
And lastly, if you could share something that you wish you would have known before going into the music industry, something that could be helpful for younger women going in today, something they could make use of.
I think I would say just always try and think differently. Think out of the box. You know, we were talking about classical music and how you can present it differently. It doesn't have to be in the traditional way. So think outside the box. Obviously, work hard. Believe that you can do everything. Try it. Have fun. That's really important, to have fun alongside working really hard. And just be positive and be patient. Mm. I think that's a really important thing as well, is that nothing happens overnight. And, you know, I've been in this career for 25 years and it's taken me a long time to achieve things, and patience is a really big part of that, I think.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you so much for allowing us to film here firstly and just sharing all of that with me.
No problem, Joy. It's been very good fun and enjoyable. Thank you.
Thank you.